And so we're going to continue our study of the book of Acts. If you're new to this church, we just preach the Bible. We believe that that's where the power is. We don't believe that it's in any human being's way to teach it. It's just in the Bible. And so we pray that every week we pray that God will speak to our hearts and to anybody's hearts who hears the Word. We believe very clearly that if you study the Word of God, that it doesn't come back void. And so I'm just going to pray, as we do every single week, that God will speak to us. I really don't want you to just be impressed with what we do up here. We just want you to be impressed with God. And so we do that through studying His Word. And so before we get into it, we're going to pray that God will open up our hearts and teach us something new. Some of us won't change. Some of us in this room are like, nah, I got everything. I don't need to change. And the truth is we need to change. So I'm going to pray that God will speak to our hearts. And if we need to, we'll make a change, whatever it might be. So let's pray. Father, we just never know what we come into this room, Lord. There could be people in this room that had the best week of their lives. We could be in a room of people who had the worst week of their lives. And so we don't know. And so I just pray that you would speak to our hearts today through the study of the Word. I pray that you would draw us together as a church in fellowship and unity, Lord, through your Word and through singing. And I just pray that you would be with me as I hopefully present your Word diligently and clearly. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. As we study the book of Acts, we are looking at a man named Paul, and we are all in awe of who Paul/Saul is. I was thinking about this last night as I was just sitting up in bed. You know, probably nobody in this room can do what the Apostle Paul did. If you could, you probably wouldn't be here. You'd be doing something. But I wondered, like, if our church can collectively do what one man did in the Bible. I don't know that answer, but I just thought that was an interesting concept. We probably can't do what Paul did, but can we collectively work together to do what Paul did? Because he did some amazing things. And as we think about Saul and Paul, it's the same man. If you're new to church, if you're new to the Bible, we're going to talk about a man named Saul. He's also the name Paul, so I'll use that name interchangeably. One of the things that was clear about his life is that he preached the gospel. And so what I want to ask you this morning to start us off is, in 2019 in America, should Christians proclaim the gospel? Should we preach the gospel? Should we take what we believe and bring it to the world that doesn't believe? Should we be doing that? Here's another more difficult question. Should we be setting out to change other people's hearts? Should we look at other people who don't believe in Jesus, and should we want to change them? And should we do things in order that they may be changed? Is that our job? Is that what we're supposed to do? Should we, as Christians, be bringing the gospel to the world in which we live? You work at a job, you have friends, you have family, you have different social situations. Should you be bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to that world? Should we be doing that? Because if you live in the world that I live in, the world says, no, you should not. You believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, and we'll just, when we come together, we'll talk about things that don't really matter, like the weather. And so the world that I live in, and I hope that you live in a different world, but the one that I live in, which just says, I don't want to hear it. You keep yours, I got mine, we're just going to be happy. So should we be preaching the gospel? As Christians, should we be taking our gospel and bringing it in other people's lives? That's the question I hope to answer today. We know that the Apostle Paul, Saul, he brought the gospel wherever he went. And so we're going to look at his motivation. What drove Paul to do this? Is he different than us? Was he in a different culture than us? Is he the same as us? And so we're going to study the Apostle Paul and study a man who preached the gospel, and maybe that will teach us something about what we should be doing or what we should not be doing. So Acts chapter 9, verses 19b, the second part. You probably have a break in your Bible. It's on page 917 in the chair Bible. If you don't have a Bible, please grab one and go to page 917. Acts chapter 9, starting in the second part of verse 19. The Apostle Paul has been dramatically converted on the road to Damascus. He was setting out to take down Christians. He was setting out to imprison Christians. He was setting out to be an enemy of Christians. And on the road, God blinded him, and he switched teams. He went from being an enemy of Christians to now being an advocate for Christians. And so for 3 days, he had to think about this. And so God said, Saul, you're wrong. You've been wrong your whole life. You need to start following me. And he got saved, and his sins were forgiven, and he was given grace and mercy. And this is where we pick up after he comes out of that. He is in Damascus, and here's what it picks up in verse 19, the second part. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. Let's pause there for a moment. The Apostle Paul is converted on the road to Damascus. And in verse 19, take that back, 20, it says, immediately he proclaimed the gospel. Day one, as a Christian, what did he do? Preach the gospel. Day one. Immediately. I love that word. No hesitation. No, like, I don't know what I need to do. Paul just went out and preached the gospel in Damascus. Do you know anyone like that who got saved and the next day they're like, I'm going to preach the gospel to whoever comes into my life? I hope that you do. Maybe you were that person. Maybe you are that person. But right off the bat, day one of salvation, he doesn't have to answer questions. He just preaches the gospel. And then he goes down to Jerusalem. In verse 28, so chapter 9, verses 28. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. So once again, we see the Apostle Paul, we see Saul preaching. Right out of the gate, he's preaching. He goes to Jerusalem, he's preaching. Go with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 28. The last chapter in Acts. The last two verses tell us again what the Apostle Paul is doing. Acts 28:30, talking about Paul. He's waiting to go to trial before Caesar. And the author of Acts tells us about Paul, about Saul. He lived there two whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him. What's Paul doing 25 years later while he's in jail? What is Paul doing? Proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Day one, he's preaching right off the gate, right off the bat. Day, whatever, 1,055, he's preaching the gospel. And we see throughout his letters in Timothy that he continues to preach the gospel. So day one, Paul is preaching the gospel. He's proclaiming the name of Jesus. And he never lets up. Everywhere he goes, Iconium, Lystra, Ephesus, Corinth, Colossae, it doesn't matter where he goes, Macedonia, the Apostle Paul is preaching the gospel. Unapologetically preaching the gospel. If he's in jail, he preaches the gospel. If he's on house arrest, he preaches the gospel. If he's on trial, he preaches the gospel. If he's in somebody's house, he preaches the gospel. We're going to study through the book of Acts, but everywhere that Paul goes, he preaches. He tells people about Jesus. So our goal today is to look at why. Why does Paul preach? And does Paul's motivation, does that line up with yours and I's? Do we preach the gospel wherever we go? Do we preach the gospel when we're in jail, when we're on trial, when we're in our workplace, when we're on the ball fields, when we're at the PTA meetings? Do we preach the gospel wherever we go and to whomever we are with? Let's look at why Paul does it. Let's ask the questions. Why? Why does he preach the gospel? You guys ever wondered that? Like, we read this and like, okay, man, Paul just started preaching. But why does he preach? Is it out of fear? Some of you grew up in church where you were in a church that was based on fear. And so basically what you were taught was, if you don't do what God tells you to do, then you better watch out because the hammer's coming. Some of you grew up in a church that says, if you don't obey God, then you better be careful because he's going to kick you out of his house. That's not why Paul does what he does. Paul does not preach the gospel out of fear. The Apostle Paul has been saved. He's gone from an enemy of God into the house of God. The Apostle Paul is not worried about losing that salvation. How do we know that? Because we have Paul's letters. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not of works." Paul says, you don't work to get into heaven. You don't work to get into God's good graces. You don't do anything to become part of God's family. God brings you into His house as His child, not because of what you did, but because He loves you. And so Paul understands, if God adopted me into His home, not based on what I do, therefore I can't do anything to lose my position with God. Paul's status in God's house is not dependent on what he does or what he doesn't do. Let me make this clear. If you're here today and you think you're going to heaven because you've done good things, that's not how it works. Nobody's going to heaven because they've done good things. That's just not what God says. God says you're going to be with Him because of grace and mercy based on your faith. And so it's not out of fear. He's not doing this because he's afraid that God's going to drop the hammer on him. So why is Paul preaching? It's hard to preach. It's not easy to proclaim the gospel. It's not easy to have the conversation day in and day out. So why is he doing it? It's not out of fear. Is it some sort of personal gain, do you think? Right? Because I'm sure you all have seen some pastors that are driving pretty nice cars. Anybody ever seen a pastor driving a pretty nice car? Maybe driving a pretty nice plane, right? Some of the pastors in the world that we live in, they live in pretty nice houses and drive pretty nice cars and have suits that are worth more than some of our cars. And so here's the truth. Peddling religion can get you some money. It's just the truth, right? Pastors flying around in their jets, that's a pretty lucrative business. And so maybe that's what's going on. Maybe Paul says, look, the more people I get, the more money I get. Or maybe it's not money for Paul. Maybe it's prestige and he wants to feel important. Because throughout history, whether you're a Christian or not, spiritual people are elevated to a higher position and they get honor and prestige. And so in a jungle culture, the medicine man is put above other people because there's something spiritual in him. The spiritual gurus who write the books, whoa, those guys are close to God, therefore we're going to look up to him. And so sometimes it's not even about money. It's just about people looking up to us. Looking up to people. And so maybe Paul is thinking, yes, I can preach and people will look up to me. Or maybe Paul thinks, if I preach the gospel, more people equals more money and I can drive a better car. Is that Paul's motivation? Is it for personal gain? Verse 23 of Acts chapter 9. Go there if you will. So Acts chapter 9, verse 23. I want you to read the last part of that verse. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to do what?
To kill him.
Wait a minute, that doesn't seem like personal gain. Let's read the next one. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. Side note, a little bit of levity here for a second. That's got to either be a really big basket or a really small man, right? To let Saul down in a basket. I don't know how that works. But here we are in Damascus, and they're trying to kill him. Now we go to verse 29. He's in Jerusalem, and he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. So here we have the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel. It is not gaining in his life. It's not benefiting him in any way. In fact, it's causing people to hate him. It's causing people to want to kill him. So he's not driving a better car. He's not getting a nicer house. People don't seem to like him. They seem to hate him to the point where they want to kill him. And we see this throughout Paul's life. Everywhere he goes, people want to kill him. Paul's in jail. He's not living in a mansion on the water. He's living in jail on house arrest. And yet he continues to preach the gospel. Why? Saul, Paul, give it up. God's going to let you into heaven. Even if you don't preach the gospel, it's okay. And you're not going to gain from this, so why do you continue to preach? So if it's not out of fear, and it's not for personal gain, why does Saul preach? What is his motivation? What is driving him to preach? What is driving him to tell people about Jesus? It's causing him nothing but problems. Why does he keep doing it? One of the beautiful things about the New Testament is it's written mostly by Paul, by the Holy Spirit through Paul. But as you read through the letters, through the Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians, you begin to get Paul's heart. You begin to really understand the man that Paul was. And that's the most beautiful part about Scripture. God chose to use people to write His Word, but it's real people. And so you can read the books that Paul wrote, the letters that Paul wrote, and you can hear his heart and you can feel his passion. And so as you read through the Bible, there are two things that we understand about the Apostle Paul. And I believe very clearly that these two things are the things that motivate Paul to preach the gospel. First and second are love. Number one, the The Apostle Paul loves Jesus. Absolutely loves Jesus. Number two, Paul really loves people. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul looks at his previous life. He says, I'm looking at my old life, and I'm looking at my life with Jesus Christ. I'm looking at Christ. And what does he call his old life? Garbage. He says, compared to knowing Christ, compared to the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ, everything else in this world is absolute filth. It's garbage. It's nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul loves Jesus with all of his heart. And here's one thing that we have forgotten, I think, not we as a church, but we as a culture, is that the love that we have for Jesus results in us doing what he wants us to do. Okay, so that doesn't fit into our mind. But think about this. Think about somebody that you absolutely love. Right? Does anybody have anybody that they love? They don't know what to buy for them? They have everything that they need, you don't know what to buy for them? Right? So you want, because you love somebody, you want to give them a gift, you want to do something for them, but you don't know what to do because they don't need anything from you. Like, what does God need from us? Nothing. So what can we do for God? Because Paul loves God and he wants to do something for him, but what are you going to do? Give him a bouquet of flowers? God's like, I created flowers, okay? What are you going to make him a mixtape? I mean, what are you going to do for Jesus? What we can do as Christians for Jesus when we love him is to obey him. John chapter 14, verses 15. This is in red letters. Jesus Christ says this. John 14, 15. If you love me, this is Jesus. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The way that we love Jesus is by doing what he's asked us to do. That's how we love Jesus. So when Jesus says, do something, we don't say, I'm busy. We say, like good Chick-fil-A employees, it's my pleasure. It's my absolute joy, my honor to do the things that you've asked me to do, Jesus, because I don't know what else to do for you. I didn't do anything to earn my salvation. You just gave me this fantastic gift. I don't know how to repay you, but if you're asking me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try my best to do it at least. And so that's why the Apostle Paul does what he does. Jesus saves him on the road to Damascus, and he says, Paul, go tell everybody about Jesus. And Saul says, that I can do. I can do that, and so I'm going to devote my life to doing that. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a burden for Paul. It's a reflection of his love for God. He's not doing it because he has to, because God's going to drop the hammer if he doesn't. He's doing it because he loves Jesus and he wants to make Jesus happy. And this is the one thing, one of the things that Jesus has asked him to do. And so again, sharing the gospel is not a burden for him. He is honored to be able to share the gospel. So number one, Paul loves Jesus. Saul loves Jesus, and so he's going to do what Jesus has asked him to do. Let's just pause for a little reflection. Do you love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Okay, this is something that's so hard in church, because I believe that some people are here today because you feel like God's going to get mad if you don't come. Some people are probably here because they feel like they have to be here, but they don't like actually want to be here. I hope that you want to be here. I want to be here. I like when you're here. It's nice. But I hope that you really actually love Jesus Christ. It's not just a way to get into heaven, but it's like, I really love Jesus. Like you love your spouse, but 100 times more, 1,000,000 times more. And as much as I love my spouse and I want to do things for her, so 1,000 times more I love Jesus and want to do things for him. Do you love Jesus? Paul loves Jesus, and so when Jesus says, I want you to go tell the world about me, he's like, of course I will do that. I can do that, and I will. Secondly, Paul loves people. First thing, Paul loves Jesus. Secondly, he loves people. Here's the simplest picture of why Paul shares the gospel. Paul has been given a gift. It's called salvation, it's called grace, it's called mercy. Paul has been given the gift of eternal life. He didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. God just gave him a gift. He was God's enemy, and now he's God's child, and it's only because God poured out his grace and mercy on Paul, on Saul. And so here Saul is sitting the day after he's saved, thinking, I went from an enemy of God to a child of God. I went from eternal damnation to eternal life. That's awesome. And then Jesus says, and by the way, that gift that I gave you is available to other people. Sometimes gifts aren't available to other people. Like, I have an amazing and beautiful wife that God has gifted me, and you can't have her. I'm sorry. Unless I'm dead and you're single, you're not allowed to have her. But this is a different kind of gift that Saul has. The gift that Saul has is available to other people. But here's the problem. They don't know about it yet. So there's this gift of grace and mercy, and there's these millions of people around Saul, and Jesus says, by the way, they don't know about it yet. What's the natural conclusion? Well, let's go tell them about it. If they don't know about the greatest gift that's ever been given to human beings, well, let's go tell them about it. It's that simple. Let's okay, so not any R-rated movies. We're not going to endorse R-rated movies. Has anybody seen an amazing movie in the last year? You're like, it changed your life. Anybody? Any movies? Movies are pretty bad now. They're just kind of awful. All right, well, I guess that's not a good example. Let's just pick one. Let's just take a restaurant, okay? Let's just say you went out to a restaurant with your family, your wife or your husband or whatever it is. You went to this restaurant, right? It was the best experience you've ever had at a restaurant. Best food, best service, best atmosphere, everything. The sunset, it was the most enjoyable experience you've ever had at a restaurant. Right? Just think about that, wherever that was. You know, it's I don't know what it is. Whatever it is for you. When you see your friends who you love and who you care about, what do? Dude, went to this restaurant last night and it was awesome. The food was amazing. The service was amazing. Everything was just so good. And you tell your friends that. They didn't ask you. They didn't say, hey, where should I go to eat tonight? You just told them because you had such an enjoyable experience. And then you say what? You got to go there too. And you know what? I'll pay for your kids to be babysat. I want to go with you. I'll pay for the ticket because I had such a great experience and I love you. I want you to experience that. Anybody ever done that? Thank you. Very, very encouraging crowd today. Yeah, I've been in a good meal before, Ben. Okay, yeah. But sometimes we experience something with so much joy, the people that we love, we want them to have that, right? Hey, you know what? I want to go to that meal with you because I want to see your face light up when you have that great experience too because I love you that much. That's all that Paul is doing. Paul was a sinner going to hell, and now he's a child of God living with Jesus forever. He woke up the next day thinking, I'm a child of God. That is literally the best thing that has ever happened to me. And that person can have it too? Well, then I'm going to go tell them about it. Right? Paul wakes up and says, I don't have to pay the price for all the junk that I did. I have meaning. I have purpose. I have a life that matters now, and I get to be with Jesus forever. And those people can have that too, but they don't know about it yet? Well, let's go tell them about it. And so I don't think that Paul does this because he's afraid that God's going to strike him down. I don't think Paul devotes his life to sharing the gospel for personal gain. It doesn't benefit him at all. He just does it because he loves Jesus. And that's what Jesus asked him to do. He does it because he loves people. And he wants people to have the joy that he has. So I just want to ask you a few questions as we walk through our application point of this. I asked it before, but I'll ask it again. Do you love Jesus? Not do you go to church, not do you do what you're supposed to do, but do you actually love Jesus Christ? And if you do, the Bible says that if you love, or Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. Okay, very simple application. If you love Jesus, do you know what he wants you to do? Have you ever asked him? You ever say, hey Jesus, I absolutely love you. I don't know what to do for you. I can't buy you a bouquet of flowers. I would like to do something because I love you so much, but I don't know what to do for you. He says, okay, well here's what I want you to do. Do you know what he wants you to do? There's a lot of things that Jesus wants us to do. First and foremost, Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus says what? Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. That's what Jesus asks us to do. Jesus looks at us and says, hey, there's other people in this world that don't know about Jesus, and I want to tell them, and I'm going to use you to do that. So just take some time to reflect on your own heart. Do you love Jesus? And then how is that love showing up in your life? Are you doing what Jesus has asked you to do? And if you are, then sharing the gospel should be part of that. Not because I say so, but because Jesus says so. Because your heavenly Father says, I want the whole world to know about this. So go tell them. If you've got a boss and you hate your boss, but you just want to get paid, you'll do the bare minimum, right? But if you absolutely love your boss and you respect him or her and you just love the person that they are and they say, I've got a mission, we've got a job to do, you're like, all right, let's do it. I trust you. I'm ready to do it. Let's go. Is that how you feel when Jesus asks you to do something or calls you to do something? Is it a burden or is it a joy? Because this is what we can do for God. Second question is do you love people? These are the two greatest commandments that Jesus says. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love people. So do you love other people? Do you love your neighbor? And if your answer is yes, I do love them. My question, you know where I'm going. Do you tell them about Jesus? You have to ask yourself the question, what is more loving for a non-Christian brother or non-Christian friend that you know? Is it more loving to tell them about Jesus or more loving not to tell them about Jesus? Which one is the more loving act? And if you're like, man, this is just so hard, it's such a burden, then switch into a different mode. Don't switch into, man, this is going to be hard, my friends are going to hate me, I don't want to do this, I don't want to go knock on their door, I don't want to do this. Switch into restaurant mode and say, man, I had the greatest experience last night, you should go to this restaurant too. I mean, who gets mad at you for saying that? Nobody. They're like, hey, thanks, I didn't know that restaurant existed, I appreciate that. Just let the joy of Jesus flow out of your heart and say, I love Jesus. I woke up this morning and I'm saved. I'm saved from my sins. All the junk that I did in my life is gone. Like God doesn't even see it at all. And you look at your friends and you're like, don't you want that? I hope that for you. If you're not a person that likes to go down the negative route or whatever, or talk about hell, then talk about the joys of heaven and say, look, I don't even want to have a conversation about hell. I want you to be with me in heaven forever. That's what I want. Do you love them enough to tell them that? And I know that it's hard. They wanted to kill the Apostle Paul because he did it. But what's the alternative? Just be quiet? Just not say anything? I kind of get afraid about the fact that I have people in my life who maybe don't know the gospel, and I don't want them at the end of their life to say, man, I wish Ben would have told me. I wish that my neighbor would have said something to me. I thought he was a Christian. I don't want that on my conscience. God will forgive me for that, but I don't want it. So let me ask you that question I started out with. Should we share the gospel? Should Christians bring the gospel? Thank you. That's an easy answer. Should Christians bring the gospel into the world? Okay, so I am a millennial, which I'm an old millennial. So millennials are like born in 19... Like it's like if you're 35 years old, I think 20, so 20 to 35. I'm a millennial. We are in about this year, we'll become the biggest group of people in the nation. So the baby boomers are currently dying off, and so that group is shrinking. And so the millennials are going to be the biggest group or the biggest generation in America. About half of the millennial Christians in America don't think that it's our responsibility to share the gospel. We say, look, that's pushy, that's judgy, I don't think that's my job. And so the biggest generation in the church, half of that generation is saying, I don't think it's our job. I don't want to do that. That offends people. And I'm just afraid where that's going to result. Should we be sharing the gospel? You got to answer this question to yourself. You got to make up your own decision, because we all have to make up our own decisions of what we're going to do. Because I can go say, go share the gospel, and you're like, have at it, have fun. I'm not going to do it. You got to make your own decisions. But let me just close out with this. The world is currently telling us, I don't want to hear it. I got my thing, you got your thing, let's just be happy, okay? That's what the world, is that the world that you guys live in? I mean, that's, any head nods? Okay, that's the world that I live in. Hey, I want to talk about Jesus. Oh, what? Like, religion and politics, off the table, completely off the table. I'm like, religion's the most important thing in my life. How do I just not talk about it? I love Jesus more than I love anything else, and you just want me to not talk about it? But that's what the world is saying. That doesn't make us feel good. That doesn't make us feel comfortable. So don't talk about that kind of stuff. I don't want to hear it. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about March Madness. We can have that conversation. But let's not get into real conversations. Here's how I am responding. So this is just my response. You can say take it or leave it. Here's how I'm responding in my mind, but also in my words. I tell people, I love God too much to not say anything. Because if I don't do this, then I'm actually disobeying what God has told me to do. So the God of the universe, who I love more than anything else, he said, hey, go share the gospel. And you're telling me to disobey what God told me to do. When it comes down to it, I'm listening to God, not people. And so maybe you're nicer and kinder than I am. Maybe you can say it in this way, like, look, I really want to please God, and this is how I do it, and you're taking that away from me. Because God thinks this is important, therefore I think it's important. So I tell people, look, I love God too much to not do what he's asked me to do. Secondly, I tell people, or I try to tell people, maybe I fail a lot, I love you too much not to tell you. Like, I legitimately love you too much to not tell you the truth. I know you don't want to hear it, but I love you too much. I have children, okay? Close out. I have children, okay? And so my children are pretty small, basically 6'4", all that down, okay? I don't always tell my kids things that make them happy. Does that make me a bad father? I don't think so. Because if I gave my kids whatever they want and told them whatever they want, they'd eat candy and watch cartoons all day. That's what they want to do. They don't want to hear me say, get outside and go play. They don't want to hear that. They want to eat candy and watch cartoons all day. But as a loving father, I've got to tell them, turn it off. Let's go outside. Stop eating candy all day long. And so I'm not equating your friends and your family to children, but I am saying sometimes people don't want to hear the truth. But it's the loving thing to do because you love them to actually tell them the truth. Paul preaches the gospel because he loves Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Paul preaches the gospel because he loves people. Do you love people? Let me just wrap up with a gospel message. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, we absolutely love you in this room. Every Christian in this room loves you. And we want to tell you something. That without Jesus, you can't get to heaven. It's just that simple. Good people get into heaven and nobody's good without Jesus. It's that simple. How does a person become good? Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid the price for their sins. In doing so, that makes a way for people to become good. And you have to accept what Jesus did in order to be good. If you're here today and you're thinking, I want to be good. I want to go to heaven. Seems like Christianity is a pretty good thing. Have a conversation with somebody. That's good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together as a church. And Father, oh my gosh, it's so hard in this world to preach the gospel. We look at people's eyes and we get that tension and we start talking about real things and we know it's coming. We know they're going to walk away. Or we know they're going to be tense about it. So hard. But we've got to press through. We've got to do what you've called us to do. So Father, I just pray that when we're considering whether or not we're going to share the gospel in the world, because the world doesn't want to hear it, I pray that we listen to you and we allow our love for you and our love for others to trump what it is that we are afraid of. Father, Paul was an amazing man and you gave him amazing gifts. But it wasn't the fact that he was a super apostle that made him share the gospel. It was the fact that he loved you and he loved people. And so, Father, I just pray that we would follow in Paul's footsteps. That our love for you would cause us to obey what you've asked us to do. And that our love for other people would cause us to share the most important thing that we've ever had in our lives with them. And Father, we ask these things in your name. Amen.